Good?
Love. Can we have a moment of silence, please, followed by the serenity prayer? God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things that we can, wisdom to know the difference. My name is Eric, I'm an addict. Now, they called me to speak down here, man, and basically, I told him, no. Nah, he ran off about 13 topics. I said, no, nah, because sooner or later, this don't get fun no more. You know, in the beginning, it was fun. You know, 20 years ago, this was fun. You know, I was on disability. I could travel everywhere free. You know what I mean? It was fun. You know, but once the principles take place in your life, and you try to, like, strive toward being a responsible, you know, and productive member of society, then things get scary. You know, you got to learn how to balance your money because, you know, that one check a month, you know, everything don't cost $100 no more. You know, the gas bill by itself is $100, right? So this, you know, this wasn't fun no more. You know, I got clean at a time, man, when you could tell we were newcomers. You know, everybody that was just, we ain't had no haircuts, we ain't had no watches on, we ain't had none of that. I mean, you knew we were newcomers. And one of the most beautiful things of it is, you know, I hear people say, you know, what kept them here. I came to Narcotics Anonymous, you know, because I really wanted to stop hurting, man. I was hurting so bad. And I had that type of inner pain where I ain't care what you had. It you know, it couldn't stop the pain from you know, rising up inside of me. I needed people back then to say, let us love you until you learn how to love yourself. Now, I remember going to this meeting, right? And I was a newcomer, and the old timer say, honey, you hungry? And, you know, I was hungry. You know, so, but before I could say no, you know, my stomach said, you know, and the old timer say, go across the street and get that baby a fish sandwich. And they brought me a fish sandwich back this big. You know, I don't know if you remember your newcomer days. You know, I had a fish sandwich this big, and you know, I used to look around and see anybody watching me, you know, then I eat it and stuff like that because I felt so bad about myself. It's a sad thing to be in a program that got a blueprint for freedom and not take it. You see, freedom removes drama. Freedom brings peace. But see, one of the principles that's required for it is courage. And that's something I don't have. You know, and that's something I don't have the ability to tell you I don't have. You know, it takes a coward to sit somewhere and just talk and simply not say, you know, and not have the ability to simply say they don't know or they're afraid. Right, so I got to this meeting where all these old timers was, right? By the way, my clean date is April the 18th, 1994. Next week I'll have 24 years, right? And so I got clean. My sponsor told me something the other day. He said when you got clean, all the old timers was telling the truth. But he said, but telling the truth doesn't mean you work in steps. You can get honest all you want, but the principles are the only thing that have the ingredients to remove this illness that I suffer from. But they were telling the truth, man, and them telling the truth. And I remember the first meeting, I was walking up the steps, and this dude was sharing, right? He said, yeah, I shot him 4 times, and I was scared, right? I'm like, but I'm in the middle of the steps, I don't know if I want to turn back around. He said, you know, and I burned him on my mother's backyard. I'm like, oh, shucks, you know what I mean? And before I could tell, people trying to get up to him, and when I get up there, this brother is sharing so honestly, man. I'm like, good God, oh my. It was important for me to get to the next meeting and hear stuff like that. Right? In other words, what I'm saying is that they didn't say they practiced the first tradition. They showed that they did. Unity was important. So we're talking about removing a hammer out of people's hands who have the power to harm you. Steps 8 and 9 mean that somebody got a hammer in their hand, and without your ability to stop them, they could click you off anytime they want to. Right now, one of the things I need to be able to do is to ask myself, what gives them this ability to harm me? Right? And just for today, it talks about walking around with a cluttered spirit. Right? The 8th step is like a cluttered spirit. A cluttered spirit is like a messy house. Right? You got dirty dishes in the sink, trash cans all filled up with trash, you know what I mean? But the thing about a house, you can pay somebody to clean that stuff up, but with your spirit, you got to clean it up yourself. See, you can't pay nobody to clean your spirit up. Right? See, in the basic text, you know, you don't have to get to the back of the book. You got to sometimes start in the front where you can understand that your problem is 9 times out of 10, Herb, your problem is every time you find yourself in a dilemma, you keep trying to solve a spiritual problem with a human solution. The book says, this book, right, therefore, right, deals with spiritual matters. Now, evidently, I mustn't read that if I keep trying to talk myself into a solution. Right? So, let me share a 9-step experience with y'all and get out of here. Right? So you know, the step guide talks about how it's easy to talk about the harm we caused when we was using. Right? It is easy to talk about because we was getting high there. Right? But a lot of us harm people clean. Right? Now you gotta remember, she said real or imagine, that we're talking about harm. We're talking about stealing the 7th tradition money, interfering with sponsorship, relations, right? Sexually exploiting a newcomer, right? Use your clean time as an advantage in a service position, right? All this stuff it talks about, right? But one of the things I have to get in touch with is that this is the stuff that paralyzed me. So the lady that brought me the fish sandwich, let me get back there. Right? The lady that brought me the fish sandwich as a newcomer became like a spiritual advisor to me. Hey, look, wait a minute. Look, she was an old-timer. She had like 16 years clean. And she said, I like you, right? I was running all up and down the roads in the hall and Thomas and all them, visiting them and tasting the meetings. And she said, I like you, but you don't know what you're talking about. So she, you know, she took me under wings and, you know, moved me in a home, right? And because I didn't do no step work, right, like I wind up one day knowing the husband, the daughters, and the whole family. Yeah. Me and the whole family eating dinner at the table, they took me in like that, I was their servant. And one day this disease man so insidious creeped up one day, and she had moved out the house with her husband and moved to my Section 8 apartment. Your spirit yourself.
Yeah.
You know how much pain I had to be in to sleep with somebody else's wife? Do you know how spiritually spiritually mature I had to be to disrespect somebody's household who broke me in their household and treated me like I was their son? This disease so insidious, it didn't even let me realize that I was being placed in a checkmate move. When I looked up, she done left her husband and moved in with me, and you know, the Section 8 became a house, and all this stuff. She encouraged me to go back to school because I was on disability. I looked up, I was 48, I was 45 getting my high school diploma, right? She said, honey, why don't you go get your degree? I looked up, I was 53, graduating college, you know what I mean? I was doing some stuff. And then my sponsor told me something one day. He said, Eric, you know, if she can cheat on her husband, what make you think she ain't going to cheat on you? I went to Texas one time to do a commitment. And when I came back, my neighbor said, man, I don't know how you and that guy, your buddy to drive that truck, but he parked the truck in your backyard and they didn't leave till 3 days later. And she said, what's wrong? I said, ain't nothing, I won't be in it no more. Right? She said, what? I said, I won't be in it no more. Right? I said, you can have a house, and you know all you gangsters. Yeah, I'm like, man, I wouldn't get that be no house. I wouldn't give it. You can have a house, you can have all that. Mm. Right. But before I came to that agreement, I born in 2 yards, you know. I said, I'm not giving that woman no house. And I called my sponsor because I stayed in pain. He said, Eric, I tell you what. If you don't want to give it a house, why don't you go out front and hug the house and see if you stop hurting? He said, give it a house, man. And I guarantee you're going to be all right. My mother will come over there and, boy, get yourself up. You're going to fall in love again. I can guarantee you that. But next time you fall in love, I hope God sent her. Right? So what I'm talking about is the amends that I had to make for that experience. I'm going to talk about it. We're going to get up out of here. So I would come to the meeting and all his friends would cross share. We'd be on step 5 and the topic would be me sleeping with his wife. If you work in steps, you don't sleep with people's wives. I'm like, how the hell we get on this topic? When the topic was, but every meeting I would go on, people would throw stuff, right? And it got to a point one day that I got so angry, I just got up and I was going to make a speed dial number. And my sponsor said, ho, come here, man, what's wrong? I said, man, that nigga got to the last time. He said, ho. That man can say what he wants to say. Eric, you have to learn how to take the hammer out of people's hands. You see, without the ninth step, you can't confront people who you harm. You'll duck them. It's just like you owe the dope boy some money, and you see him, you go on the other side of the street. Right? Without the ninth step, there's no way possible you're going to sleep peacefully at night when you harm people. You see, I don't trip about doing this no more, but I'm going to say something. You know, somewhere I read that in my prayer and meditation, he don't even want me to come to him in prayer until I go back to you and correct the harm I've done with you, and then come back to him and make him, and ask him for what I want. I can't walk around a program that's designed for loving people, walking around here harming people. So we went back to work. And I remember walking into the laboratory at the meeting to wash my hands, and he was in there. You know, the ninth step say timing is essential. He was standing right there. I knew the time was right. The scenery was spiritual. Wasn't nobody in there. And I said, oh, shucks. Look, I got scared right here. I said, look, I got scared. I turned around. I said, look. And I walked out. And I called my sponsor upset, and he asked me a simple question. He said, Eric, let me ask you something. He said, did you pray, man? I said, nah. He said, all amends must be preceded by prayer and meditation. Because once you bring the Creator in, that place becomes sacred if you're truly sorry for the harm you caused and went away. See, you can't, it's certain steps you just can't be up. I'm telling you, this step ain't fun no more. Because people lost the ability to talk about, what the topic is. You know what the steps give me the ability to survive my emotions. My mother died November 13th. We buried her on the 18th. My father died December the 25th. You know what I mean? Look, all I'm saying is this. When the addict put the drug down and lived the program, then wonderful things should happen. If you want to know how I'm living, don't follow me around no goddamn convention. Look, my life should speak for itself. I'm talking about becoming a death. Look, check this out. You're talking about kids. Man, when I was a man, I was one of the most talented people. I could have went to any performing arts school in the country when I was young. I had scholarship to Juilliard. My dream was to go to Notre Dame. I wanted to go to Notre Dame so bad, man. Man, that dope came in, man, and swiped my dream away, man. And I never in my wildest dream believed that I would ever have opportunities to relive the stuff. I thought they was buried so deep, but the program, if you bind to it, you bind into a promise that's based on spiritual virtues. God is not a God that lies. God can't lie. He just don't lie. Right? Look, I look up one day, like I'm a chef now. Right? I'm a chef now. And look, I'm going to work one day because the train is better. And I'm standing at the train. A gentleman walked down the street with a little girl and asked me how to get to the airport. I tell him how to get to the airport. He said, "What do you know about that hat you got on, sir?" I take the hat off and look at it. It's a Notre Dame hat. I said, "Whoa." I said, "Let me tell you something." I give him a 2-minute rundown of a little kid. When I got finished, he said, "Can I get your name, email address? Right, phone number. I am the athletic director of the University of Notre Dame, and I'm going to make that come true." Right. Every month he sent me care packs and jerseys and sweatshirts and hats and all this stuff. Whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Right? I'm talking about God and make your enemy your footstool. Let me tell you something. I'm on my job, and look, the president's coming. President Obama. Right? My director, he got some silent resentment. I learned that here too. He got some silent resentment. Right? So I'm off on the day he coming. Right? So he tell me, "Eric, you was off that day and put your name on the list." I say, "Are you serious? I'm going to leave? No. What you mean?" That was mine. Right? But check this out. The lady who was serving was in a car accident. Right? They pushed me into place, right? Not only did they push me into place, I was the only one who had a personal picture with Obama taken, right? And they got all these pictures with him and I, and we, you know, we calm and say, "What did you say to him, Eric?" I told him to keep coming back. But look, look, I'm just saying, you know, the topic is talking about amends, right? But like she said, the A step is talking about making a list. But you know, we're talking about more than just a list, though, is what I'm talking about. Right? When we talk about freedom and forgiveness, right, this the list was created back and forth. You know, my fourth step was like a very informative step. Well, I want to thank God for telling death to stand down. Let me say that. I just want to tell him, thank the Lord for tell death to stand down. Right? So I can just let this boy do his thing. Right? So when I got the phone, I'm waiting, right? My sponsor editing, and he's like, "Well, what about And I looked, I said, "Wow, all for this fourth step," right? Came a fourth step, a fifth step, a sixth step, an eighth step. I'm like, "God, everybody." But it ain't make no sense until I had living experiences to apply to. It's one thing to walk around with what the books say, but you don't got nothing to relate it to. How you gonna be in a program based on experience, scripture, and hope and not have none? Are you serious? Now, you don't deliberately go mess up. You're gonna mess up anyway. You just need the principles in your life to guide you in the right direction once you mess up. Yeah, they're gonna talk about you. You talk about people too. So what I'm saying in closing is this. Reconciliation means to restore. It's a restoration process. It's bonding back relationships with the people I've harmed. That's the definition. That means that my attitude, ideas, and behavior have gotten to a place under prayer and meditation that I'm now able to rightly relate myself like I did the person who asked me how to get to the airport. Can you imagine if I would answer him with my head cocked like this? "Yeah, man, you going down here." No. So today I'm in demand. When I pull my email up, man, I I'm in demand. And it's nothing I've done. I come out of the soup kitchen, I'm in demand. Right? And that's amazing. When I got clean, whatever you offered me, I had to take.
Yes, sir.
Today, if I interview, you can slide me some numbers. I have the ability to scratch that out and put my own and give it back to you. Y'all gave me that. That's what y'all gave me. Right? Y'all gave me that. I've been doing this a long time, but I stopped for a long time. I stopped because it wasn't fun no more. Becoming responsible ain't fun no more, but it's rewarding. You know, telling on yourself ain't fun no more. It's rewarding. Right? So look, I want to thank y'all. Congratulations on 30 years. Hey, Mom, love you. Just keep doing what you're doing. She's a winner. I'm going to keep coming.